Well, thanks, Danny, for opening up your second home. And interesting how, like, Kristen sent me a text saying it's quite prophetic today that we're sort of gathering here, and I agree, because when people normally come here, right, it's not on the greatest of occasions. And on one aspect it is, because they're celebrating someone's life at the same time someone's died. And today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and what that really is. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what really takes you from death to life. I think it's quite funny, we're here in a place of life and death, death and life. And so often, like, you know, we would gather in the past in a building, and it can be very spectatorship, right? It's like the people at the front perform, everyone else sits and watches, and there's this lack of engagement. And the reason why we don't engage is because we lack the Spirit. It's not rocket science, it's really simple. The Spirit brings everything to life. So you go from being empty to full. And because you're full, you can't help but, right? Because it trumps all things. The Spirit trumps a bad day. The Spirit trumps a death, because there is no death in Christ. So the receiving of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit sets you up for life on earth. All the while, without it, we struggle. I think there's a lot of confusion in this area as well. And that's what I want to hopefully bring clarity to today by using my whiteboard and having a bit of Q&A, and also testifying of what the power actually is, so you have a reference for it or not. Right? And it's okay to not, because the disciples did not have the power living in them at a particular point in time, right? So it's a process, it's in a journey of coming into the fullness of everything in Christ. So whether you do or don't, or whether you don't even know it, the Spirit is not the point. The point is, are you willing, hungry, thirsty for the reality of what you can know? That's the question really that God asks. And God asks in the form of absolutes, right? He speaks in absolutes. He doesn't speak in half-truths. He doesn't speak in gray areas. He just says it as he is, because he's defined it. And in my experience, the absolutes scare us, because the absolutes is an absolute. And then you're challenged with whether you know that absolute. And it challenges what you believe, especially if your belief doesn't match the absolute, right? But our beliefs are to be aligned with the absolutes, because we're not to be in two, we're to be in one, because he's the God of one. And so we're confronted with a reality, and I get the fact that it bothers us, but it shouldn't, right? Like, who is comfortable being lost? In the sense of, well, we all were at some stage, right? Especially comfortable being lost. I don't really care about God. I'm enjoying being lost. I was the best lost person around. And I was going to enjoy being lost, because I had no idea what it was to be found. Right? So I was living in my reality with no consciousness towards anything else but being lost. Being a good sinner, because that's what sinners do. They're good at their sin, because they have no reference for anything outside of themselves. So, wholeheartedly sinful. It's the only way to be. Right? Because then he can take wholehearted sinners and make them wholehearted sons. Right? They don't not become wholehearted, because if you're wholehearted in this, you're wholehearted in that. And if you're wholehearted in that, you're just wholehearted in everything, because you're looking for the best of life in everything. Right? So you're going to exhaust all the life out of the thing you're looking for life in. You're not 99%, you're 100 and none. So then when God gets hold of you, you're exactly the same as what you were before you were found. So now you're so hungry to find everything you are found for. And you lay all things aside in the pursuit of him, because you know in him he has all things. But you can't do that out of you. You only do that as he fills you with himself and continues to fill you with himself through the eating and the drinking of himself, because you don't look outside of him, because you know there is nothing outside of him of life but him. How do you know that, Steve? Because you read it? No, because I experienced the living Christ who taught me all things, and then this thing backs up what he's saying. So this is not first, this is second, but it is of the same kind. Like, when you never read this and never been in these buildings, how do you come to know Jesus? Through himself, the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is fully available to us all. And if you have received the Spirit, if the Spirit has breathed on you, then that Spirit lives within you. That doesn't mean you're baptized in the Spirit. And that's what I unpack today, right? And God gives you and I absolutes. In this whole area of the Spirit, he tells you an absolute. So we're going to wrestle for the absolute of a reality that you have to experience. And only when you experience the absolute will you know, and your questions will cease. Because questions are the evidence of not knowing something, correct? Yeah. That's right, they're good, right? It's not wrong. So in the natural and the spiritual, if you ask a question, you don't know something. Once you know the thing you're asking about, you no longer ask the question. So if you've asked yourself the question, have I received the Spirit, you have your answer. And if you ask yourself, have I received the baptism of power, you have your answer, because you've had your know. So the fact you're asking the question is the evidence that you haven't. Is that okay? Does that sit comfortably, or does someone just go, ooh? I don't ever like that. Why? Why is that such a bad thing? Like, it's just the truth. It's the truth, right? You apply it in the natural. Why don't we apply it in the spiritual? Why does that get us all like, ugh? See, that's also evidence of something. If I can talk you out of him, you don't know him. Because he is the creator, right? So if he's the foundation that our lives are built on, and I can challenge your knowledge of him through my persuasive language, and it starts to rock. I'm not saying this is Maddie. I'm just using Maddie because Maddie's in front of me. Right? Then the foundation is being challenged, but the foundation of Christ can never be rocked. Otherwise, he's not God. He's not very powerful. If someone can rock your foundation and you say your foundation is Christ, I want another God. Okay? Any questions about anything I've just said? It becomes very boring when it's just me talking.
What he said. I guess a thought that pops into my mind, Greg, is sometimes we think we know the answer.
100%.
And we don't.
100%.
So, if you think you know,
yep.
And you're going to stop seeking.
Correct. And so it's great, right? So what's the evidence? What will ultimately be the evidence that you will know? Your life. Your life will tell you, because you'll have partaken in something. Now, if you don't have a reference for that something, but when the reference turns up and says, this is what it now is, and now you're confronted with the reality, which before you didn't know, right? So you're just in your own little world thinking. But then when you walk into someone, and now the someone is speaking of a reality that's not yours, now you're being made aware of something that you might not know. And it's in that moment that decisions you make are critical. Because right there is where heaven is meeting earth, and heaven wants to trump earth, but earth may not respond the way it's supposed to. There's only one response, and it's called repentance right there. That's eternal. But there are many responses of earth. Justify it away, deflect it, ignore it, hide from it, attack it. The list is long. And yet God sent one to help you, make you aware that what you thought you knew is not him. So, but you reject God and the one God sent to help you in your problem. That's not smart. But you don't know. So then you go looking again, right? And this is the challenge. You don't know what you ought to know. Do you know that I and you don't yet know as we ought to know? It's a constant. It's not a one-off. Today, we don't know what we can know. Now, when you are made aware through revelation that you don't know what you don't know, you are hungry and thirsty for what you don't know. Yeah. Most people only are hungry and thirsty for what they know. And they're not hungry and thirsty for what they don't know. No appetite. But when you know that you don't know what you don't know, you have a hunger and thirst for what you don't know. So what do? You're prepared to lay all things down and start seeking with a whole heart everything that's available to you in him. And then you find it. Because although it's hidden, he wants to reveal it. So the issue really lies in who? Us. Because we've got all these other good things that live in us, that take up real estate within us. And they have real estate within our hearts, right? What are some of the things that have real estate in your heart? Relationships with other people? Yep.
Family.
Family, relationships? Work? Money?
Hobbies?
Hobbies? Reputation? Ooh.
Maybe our future goals.
Pride. Say it again.
Pride.
Our houses, our property. Great. Titles. Anything wrong with those things? Apart from pride. The Dutch have an issue with that. Oh, sorry, who said that? So what's better, those things or him? And so you can add him to that list, right? He's a part of, he's not the whole. So he's been incorporated into your heart with all those other things, but he says, I want complete real estate of your entire heart. But you can't change your heart. You can't even take those things out of your heart because they are rooted and embedded in your heart. So how does that happen? Because they've got to get out of your heart, and you can't get them out of your heart. And if you don't get them out of your heart, then you'll only ever know the incorporated Jesus, not the Jesus who is your life. So you'll know Jesus is in your life, but you'll never know Jesus as your life. So he'll never be your source. You are. You'll never know what it is to live, move, and exist on earth in him because you're still in you. Even though you have his spirit in you, you trump you and you trump his spirit. So although the spirit in you is willing, your flesh will always be strong because you will choose you over him because he's only got that much and he needs to have all that much. And you'll choose that much, which is you, right? Because all those things we've listed is you. And what the power does when it comes in, it releases you from you. So just receiving the Spirit doesn't do that. Over time it can. So receiving the Spirit can go to work if you know what it is to actually live a life in the Spirit and abide in the Spirit. What a shame it would be to have the Spirit and not know what it is to abide in the Spirit, so to continue to have all those things in you. See, the role of the Holy Spirit is to clean the house up. But the house is already clean. Greg, are you confused? No. The role of the Spirit is to come and clean up a house that's already clean. You're really confused. No. Do you understand what I mean by that? If you don't, ask me a question. Right. You are clean, right? He sees you as clean. He sees you as he says you are, Donald. You already are from his perspective. But his perspective, do you see from his perspective or your perspective in your reality? Because they're two different things, right? He says, Donald, you are already clean. You're already perfect. You have already arrived. But Donald goes, but my reality says this. Hold on a minute. My truth, your reality. Which one? Which one trumps? My experience, what he says, which one trumps? See? So you're clean from his perspective. That's why we don't go to hell, right? Hell. He comes and says, right, you're saved. Now I'm going to make you saved. You're now going to get saved, so you will be saved. And what we do, we either don't know that reality or we sit in camp number one going, everything is already complete as a whole, and we wonder why we can't live. Did that make sense what I just said then?
Yeah. Can I just make an example that Lily's just said? It's like,
go low.
She's just said, it's like when you asked us to clean our room, and I say, I've cleaned my room, and I'll come
in. It's up to my standards.
And it's also like you say, so I've cleaned everything, but then, you know, 5 minutes later, I cannot find my favourite top because actually I haven't cleaned my room because I can't find my top. So from the Lord's perspective, it's like actually you're not fully clean.
Yeah.
It's not all.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Right. So Paul writes, we have the mind of Christ. Okay. And there's a belief in the church, everyone says, we have the mind of Christ. As if we've got it, and that's all. And I go, so let's have a look at your thinking. You think that's his mind? You think those thoughts are of Christ? Is that what you're telling me? No, 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 but I have the mind of Christ. But your thinking is that, but your statement is that. There's a disconnect between your thinking and what you say. Now, it should be this. You all have the seed of Christ within you if you have received the Spirit, which means you have the seed Christ in seed form, and that seed wants to become a tree. Because he says, I am the true, and I am the tree of
right.
But a seed's not a full tree, correct? It's a seed, but it's of the kind that's going to produce life. So, you have the potential to have the fullness of the mind of Christ if the seed grows. So, he wants to renew your mind to his mind. You can't just state, I have it because the book said it, and not have the reality of it. Because the man's not writing technical information, he's testifying of his reality. And we've taken technical information, plastered it on us and gone, I have what this book says. And technically it's true, but it's not the fullness of truth. Because then when you go to live out what you say is true, you can't. Because you don't. But you do. But you don't. And just claiming it and proclaiming it and believing it, memorizing it, through your natural doesn't work, because otherwise you wouldn't have the thinking you have. You certainly wouldn't have all those things in your heart by now. So there's an issue. And to try to fix you without the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is a form of godliness. and it is religious, it's demonic, and it will lead to frustration, anger, disillusionment, bitterness. Anyone else want to add some stuff in? Bondage?
Obligation?
Behavior modification?
Brokenness?
Weariness?
Yeah.
Despair?
Exhaustion?
Crazy head. He was an Indian, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All in the name of? And then just try harder. Water.
There's everything, Lord. There's everything there. I can't even remember what's in there, but it's there. And it says it's the light. All right, so I said it's the light. Massive heap of stuff that burned to ashes. So there was this.
That's right.
But I don't, and this cross is like the reason.
Yep.
Out of the ashes.
Mm. Like a light.
But it's a light. Yeah. The cross is like a light. And now I've got a reference.
Yep.
When Satan comes with his deep and stuff, I just get that picture.
Yep.
Wow, it's just great.
Yep. Yep. That's right. And God will give us natural things as metaphors and as a means, right, to spiritual realities. So the challenge is you can do what Vorta said and not have the internal shift. So you can do everything God said, which would be right, but then don't have the reality of what's happening outside of you within you. And the goal is that's a means towards a greater end. It's not the end in itself. So the Spirit wants to take the illustration and do it in you and release you from all that stuff that's being physically burned up so into ashes so it dies within you. So if God gives you that to do, it's not for the purpose of just doing that. There is something greater that he's going to do within you as you connect with that, and you have to let him do it, because you can go through that and actually reject what he actually wants to do in you. Because the external is easy to do. You're not being burned up. It's the things. And he goes, those things represent what's within you. So the burning needs to be in you. God is an all-consuming fire. So fire represents God or the demonic. There's one the church needs to get hold of, right? And he comes to consume all of earth that's still in you, that's holding you from being an eternal being and living as an eternal being. I should have said this. It stops you from living as an eternal being because you have the spirit, you are an eternal being, but you're not living as an eternal being. It's like being a son but living as a slave. So you're not a son, but you just don't know what it is to live as a son. You continue to live as a slave even though you are a son. So these two beautiful girls in front of me are Simnors. It doesn't mean that they live as Simnors, but they will never lose their identity as a Simnor. They just don't know what it is to be a Simnor and to live in context of the Simnor culture. They actually are living to their own culture. One cleans their room better than the other.
That's why I moved out.
That's right. That's why she moved out, so she didn't have to. Right? But this is what God gives us. So this is this, right? It's all a foreshadowing of something far greater. This is a foreshadowing of this. If you don't get this, you don't get this. You'll never know what this is in his design unless you know this. That informs that, the cross. That element of the cross informs that element of the cross. And if you don't have the power of the Spirit, you can't live that element of the cross because you're not really in that element of the cross. So the power that comes from there feeds there. So when you look and you go, my neighbor is humanity, whether they're spitting on me being the thief on the right who hates me, or whether it's the thief that says, I'll be with you, you have a capacity to love both. Why? Because you're in the life of that cross, which is not really a bit of wood, and that's not a bit of wood. That's the man's torso, and that's the man's arms. So the cross is who? Who is the light of the world? Which is why I said, was it light? And we are called to be the... But you've got to become a son to become the light of the world, even though you are the light of the world, because you have the seed of the light within you. But if the seed doesn't become a tree, guess what? You won't be able to be who you've really been created to be, even though it doesn't mean you're not. Now, is that confusing or simple? Simple. Right? And the problem is we leave the simplicity in search of other things, thinking we've already got it. And we do exactly what Paul told us not to do. And we're led astray in our thinking from the reality of the simplicity of oneness. Because we may not yet know the Spirit, who is part of the Father and Son, and we may not yet know the power that comes through the baptism of that Spirit that empowers me to not only be transformed, but to actually get on board with what the will of God is in an expression or a demonstration. Because the power influences and affects both your transformation of life within you and then the expression of that life through you. So no longer are you believing in who you say you are as your identity, you're also not doing whatever you think the will of God is. This aligning works in both, right? So you'll be transformed into his image, which means you'll then know what his will is, and your life will slowly align with that will as one expression, which means by the time you get to your judgment seat, what are you going to get? The biggest reward that the Father has to give you because your life was in absolute alignment to his. And man, there is a multitude of Christians who need to learn what I just said through Revelation, because there is a whole lot of the opposite going on. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us, but he's covering us so we can actually come into what I just said. And I would encourage you, when this recording goes out, to get this and just wash in what's being released right now, along with what we're about to do. So, John 20, 22. You want to come there? John 20, 22. Who wants to read that out for me with a nice bold voice?
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
He breathed on them. And what did he say, Rodney?
"Receive the Holy Spirit."
He breathed. You know that word breathe is the only time that word is used in the New Testament is right there. Yet it's the same word when God breathed life into Adam. Adam was made from the, which is a representation of what? What are you born of? Earth, flesh. So what do you need? So you need God to breathe life into you, because you are made of the same thing Adam's made of, correct? So when he breathed life into Adam, Adam became a life-giving being. He was complete, made from earth. That's why it says the earth is first, spirit is second in Corinthians. So we're all of earth when we're born, are we not? So we need to receive the Holy Spirit through the Spirit's breath. Now, if they'd received power when they received the breath of the Spirit, why did they have to go to the upper room? Because they didn't. Not rocket science, right? We ask some questions of what we read. The Holy Spirit starts to show you some things, and he reveals in the text things that are right in front of you. But if you're unaware, you don't even see them. And for this week, for me, it's about the Holy Spirit showing me again something I've known my entire walk. But in this week, he has imprinted it to such a degree that I now know it, even though I knew it. And I knew it to such a power of conviction, it got me in trouble. But I now know it to a greater conviction, which means what? Yay! So he breathed on them and said, "Receive." And they went from being vehicles that were alive physically, but not spiritually. So you're being born again in that moment. And we need to be born again, right? For what? Unless you are born again, you will not what? What's the first thing Jesus says to Nicodemus? See what? You will not see the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm not born of the Spirit, I won't see heaven. I won't get into heaven. Is that what he's saying? No. I won't see the reality that Jesus came and brought with him that's right in front of me. Water said some powerful words. He said, "I couldn't see," is a key. But you're seeing, but you're not seeing. So you take your P's and Q's from your eyes and ears of the natural, and you completely miss and misinterpret the spiritual. Right? So unless you're born of the Spirit, you can't see the kingdom of God. What does that mean for you and me? Say it again. Yeah, you're blind, but what's that going to mean if you're blind? You can't live. What can't you live? As a son, the life you were created for, you can't live, you can't access, you can't possess. Because the thing that you need, you're blinded to. Which means you're going to live what? A fleshly life as a slave, which is your version of his version. See, that's the danger. You're going to create your version of all this because you can't see what's there. And then if you lead other people into your version, that's called blind leading the blind astray from the reality of what everyone was created for. Do you think that goes on?
Yeah.
100%. It goes on more than what we even want to think it goes on. Because people can't see, but they profess to be of the Spirit. I say, if you're of the Spirit and you can see, then share with me the mysteries of this kingdom. Because you've been granted to know them. And I'm lost. And I'm looking for life. And I've come to you because I believe that you're a Christian. And you say you're a Christian, so I'm come for life and help. But you're as blind as me. Where's the hope? Lucky it's in him. So maybe we walk together because you don't know anything and I don't know anything. So let's do this together because maybe the one who does will reveal. That's why you can walk with non-Christians. Don't judge them. Love them. We had my good friend back in our house with her partner on Friday night. It was awesome. So cool. Again, and I'm like this bad smell that keeps turning up in her life. At the right time, but the wrong time. Every time it's like on point. He speaks to me about her and I call her and she says, "What is your thing, man?" Every time without fail. And I go, "Yeah, someone's trying to get your attention." And so it just happened 2 weeks ago. I was with this guy. Downtown in the cafe, talking God, and she walks in. And I haven't seen her for a year. Right? And I texted her a year ago, and she was going through a possible court case right then. Right? Your timing. Right? Don't see her. Boom, she walks in. She sits down, doesn't see me, doesn't see us. So I said to Steve, "Just got to go over there for 5 seconds, sit down. Hi. Oh, you again." So then she starts talking to me about what's happened over the last year, why that text really meant to her, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she says, she's the God thing again. I'm with a new partner. I said, "Oh, yeah, how's that going?" She says, "Yeah, really good." Tell me some bits and pieces. And she goes, she said this to me the other day. She said, "I think I need to go back to church." And she goes, "Oh, I've been thinking the exact same thing, but I didn't know how to bring it up with you." Because in their own words, gay people are rejected by the church. Mm-hmm. And they can't find a place because they instantly get judged and told they need to change and God doesn't love them and doesn't accept them. God loves everyone, doesn't he?
Amen.
Now the behavior is different to the person. And before you throw that stone, how are you getting on with your own behavior?
Yeah.
"Oh, no, that's not as bad as that." Really? Oh, you've become God now, right? Because you can't see. So now we're back to the kingdom. And you can't release the love of heaven and the life of heaven. All you've got is the law of heaven. Well, that's not going to build anybody up. That's going to crush them. And they've come for life. But those of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit knows how to minister in the Spirit. And so people who can be in your home who know that you're different to them but still feel comfortable around you to be able to share with you their intimate stuff.
Yeah, put your feet up on the couch.
It was great. Right? Eating apple crumble. Not me. It wasn't a treat day. Whatever. She's a film girl because she was getting stuck into it. Did have a wine, though. And so this empowerment enables you to go places in you and with others that are so far from him, that have a perception of how he thinks about them, that propels them even further away from them. And then they come to us in the hope that We might know something, and yet if we don't have the Spirit and we don't have the power of the Spirit, then they're going to get you. And they're going to get your version of you. And it might be an okay version, but it won't be his version and the fullest version of what they could get. And this is why it says that we need to be trained and equipped like the Master and be ready in and out of season for all opportunities that he draws, not that we're looking for. It's not us running around trying to find gay people. Right? It's not us trying to run around broken homes and broken. No, he will draw them to us because we have something they don't have. But we're not trying to fix them, but we get to share with them the one who can fix them if they're open to being fixed, just like me.
That's right.
And all that comes from knowing the Spirit and receiving the Spirit and being baptized. Breathed and baptized are two realities. And some people have lumped them together as one. Some people even think when they are baptized in water, they're baptized in the Spirit. Because you get baptized in water, you are instantly baptized in the Spirit. Wrong. Now you may, right? You may be baptized in water and the Spirit all in one hit. You may. But just getting baptized in water alone does not mean you're baptized in the Spirit. And it certainly doesn't mean you're baptized in the power of the Spirit. So, as a child who wants all that the Father has so they can glorify the Father, I want to go on a process of being completely lost to being as found as I can be found to find all things. So at the end of my life, I am a mature son who received and laid hold of all that the Father had so I could glorify the Father with the life he's given me, and it be about the demonstration of his wisdom into this earth. Nothing to do with me. Because I lost me the day he breathed. Because there's a difference between me and me. So when the Spirit comes into me, that's the new me. Why would I want to continue to be the old me without the Spirit when I've been born of the Spirit to be the new me? Because I really don't know, do I? And I know the old me more than I know the new me. And when the power comes and gets hold of you within you, takes you from being you to being in him. Rescues out of you humanity to being in the supernatural. I just thought the supernatural was seeing arms healed. No. The supernatural is taking dead people and making them live. But not the way they used to live. A brand new way of being. It's called the is. Anybody read the book here?
Yeah.
Some. Did you get confused over the is part?
Yeah.
That's okay. Seek him on it. The God who is, not the God who does. God is spirit. You must worship in spirit to be a true worshiper. And we better know what it is to be born again in the Spirit, right? Not just go through religious motions and come and sing songs. Give money, read the Bible, go to prayer meetings, share your testimony on this, whatever. That's not necessarily being in the Spirit, worshiping the Spirit. That can be forms of godliness, painted up as. So we really need to get this down because this is the beginning. So for 3.5 years, the disciples walked with Jesus, but the Spirit was not in them. Are we all good with that? Good, because that's what it says. If you didn't, I'd say take it up with the Scriptures. It says, the Holy Spirit will be with you, but there will become a day when he will be in you. And on that day that he comes in you, you will know some things. Why? Because you read it? No. Because when the Holy Spirit does what he was commissioned for and he enters into you, you're going to know what? You're going to know life, but what are you specifically going to know that that says? There's a whole lot of stuff. But in that context, right there in the Scriptures, it says the Holy Spirit is with you. He will be in you. And on the day he goes in you, Jesus then said, you will know. And no one knows. You will know that I and the Father are
one.
So do you really know that yet? Or is that in your head? So when I ask you a question that's in your head, you don't know the answer. When you get that in your heart, you know the answer. It's not about knowing the answer. It's about knowing the life of the answer, and the life comes out. See, I'm not trying to trick anybody. A lot of people think I try to trick people, and the other people think I'm looking for something specific. I'm looking for what, and I'm hearing whether you're in life or not so I can help you on your journey. I need to know where you and I are at on our true journey so I can help you as a father of you to father you well and shepherd you well into the fullness. I'm not trying to hurt you, find you out. I'm trying to help you. And I need to know, and you need to know where you're really at. So the questions Jesus asked was never to put anybody down. It was to discern and help them, not him. He knew.
Yeah.
Right? Which means if you're like him, you know. So then what you're trying to do is what? Help people who don't know where they're really at, but you know. Only then can you help them. If I don't know where Mitch is spiritually, how can I help him? Mitch, where are you at? Mitch goes, I don't really know. I go, it's okay, I know. Is that arrogant? Could be. Very much could be arrogant, right? And I could lord that over Mitch. And I could make Mitch feel really stink. Once again, just using Mitch as an example. But as a shepherd, how do you shepherd the flock if you don't know where the flock's at? And here's the other thing. You should never get found out by the sheep because you know where the sheep are at. So when the sheep act like sheep, you already know, so it doesn't take you out. So nothing should surprise you really because you already know and you're expecting because you know by asking that question, playing that card, you're expecting the inner realm to jump for the purpose of what? Crucifixion. No. Dying on that side of the fence, right? Through love. And this is what being baptized and knowing the Spirit enables, is you actually can start to serve those that you're serving and help them on the true reality come into the trueness of life because they're blinded like you were to the same thing and you're moving in the hope that you can help. So if you don't have the Spirit, let's start there. You need to know that you're born again, right? And there shouldn't be any doubt in that. Right? No doubt. Do you know who you are? Do you know your past? Do you doubt that? Can I argue Steve out of being Steve Grove? You are not Steve Grove. I'm going to give my best shot, right? This guy has been on this planet for 21 years?
Yeah.
A few times. Right? And I'm going to do my best shot to persuasively argue Steve out of Steve. Now, who's going to back me versus Steve? Anyone got $100 going to put on me to be able to convince him? No. No. No one's going to back that horse, right? And Steve will go, Greg, what are you talking about, man? I know who I am. Let me tell you who I am. Because he knows that he knows that he knows. It's an absolute. And God's into the business of absolutes. Why? So you and I can know. So there is no doubt and there is no guesswork and there is no other option. Why? Because he wants you and I in the fullness of life. So he works in absolutes so you can know you can build your life on the absolute and not question anything. I'm free. Free indeed. This is so amazing. Now I once wasn't, but now I am. And you can't understand anything I'm saying in your mind. So don't even try. If you're trying to figure this all out, because I can see some of you trying to figure this all out in your head, would you please stop? Because unless you've had revelation, your carnal mind is trying to grasp eternal truth and your head will just hurt or you'll write it off or you'll go, no, 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 this is what I believe. And you're trying to fit it inside your closed box and there never should be a box. think outside the box. There never should have been a box to think outside of. So you should, and I don't like using that word, but I'm going to use it because it's an absolute. You should know if you're born of the Spirit. Because a spirit, a new spirit entered you and life came. And you would know for the evidence that, oh my goodness, you will. Oh, this is, look, it says, He breathed on them and they received. The word receive, Greek word, means to lay hold of, to know absolutely, to take it by force. It's literal. So if I give you that pen, have you received the pen? Right. If I give you the phone, make sure you don't turn it off. Have you received the phone? How do you know you have the pen and the phone? Because I've got it and it was given. And now Maddie's experiencing it, right? Not because it's written in a book that Dad gave her the phone, or Dad gave her the pen, she's experienced it. It's literally in her hand. Now she could make a phone call with it. What these two do is take videos of you when you're dancing on your own and you don't know. Then they send it to you and you look really weird, like you're having a good time. Well, that's all I know, right? Some of their friends. Yeah, that's right. We've seen it, yeah. Greg's on TikTok. But that's what it should be like. So there's no doubt. Did you doubt whether you held the phone?
No.
Have you doubt whether you held the pen? No. You are convinced and you're convicted of a truth that she could now live from. And she could then take that phone, if I said, here it is, go and use it for the next 6 months. And she would have access and possession to everything that's within that, right? Mm-hmm. Welcome to the spiritual world. Yeah. Right, let's go to another scripture. Is this okay? How are we doing for time?
Yeah.
Everyone okay?
Yeah.
All right, we don't have to get out of the cafe, so we're here for like 8 hours, all right? Come back with me to Luke. Let's go to Luke 24. Because Jesus gives three promises of this reality. So Luke 24:49. What does it say, Rodney?
Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry. In the city of Jerusalem until you are.
He's reading another version now. Right. It's all good, man. It's all good. And behold, right? And behold. There's a powerful word, right? Luke 24:49. Behold. If you behold something, what happens? You lay hold of it. So I'm going to make a statement to you that I want you to behold. It's not yet happened, but I want you to behold what I'm about to say because it's a promise. And I want you to lay hold of it because it's for you. What happens if you don't lay hold of the promises? They never become realized. So the potential promises of God never become your realized reality, which means you don't live from them. So then your life is a reflection of that. Right? So, and behold, I, who's I, am sending forth the promise. Jesus, does he lie?
No.
Does he speak the Father's truth?
Yeah.
Does he speak in absolutes?
Yeah.
And does he expect what he says to happen?
Amen.
Well, we all said four yeses to that, right? Good. I'm sending forth the promise. Where's the promise from? His Father. So it's not even his promise. It's not him. He's sending forth the promise. He's been sent. He is now going to send one. And the promise is coming from his Father, who he is one with. Right? And it's going to come upon you. What does that mean? If I come upon Danny right now, what's that going to look like? He's squished. The two bodies become one. I'm going to come upon him. I'm going to actually hold him. I'm going to hug him. Maybe I'm going to pick him up. And I'm going to squeeze him. With the goal being that I would, now physically, obviously, I can't enter into Danny. Right? But the Spirit is going to come upon you. And we're going to look at two other promises. It's going to clothe you. I'm so grateful we all got clothed today. Right? What does it mean to be clothed? Well, you know, because you just got clothed. You know what it means to be naked, and you know what it is to be clothed. So the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you like clothing. This is different to this. This is a greater reality than this, although this and that can happen, because we're going to look at this other word, and this other word is what? If the Holy Spirit fills you with fire and power, you're going to be what in the Holy Spirit? You will be baptized. Woo! Have you been baptized in water? What happened when you got baptized in water? Literally, you got wet. What did you get? You got fully immersed in what? Right. So you were taken into a pool, a spa, a sea, a river, a puddle. Hopefully not. That's a lot of water, right? Right. And then someone baptized you. Yep. Baptized yourself?
No.
Okay. Someone baptized Steve in water, and Steve went into the water. The water fully immersed Steve. What happens when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Fully immersed in the Spirit. So you went into the water, the Spirit comes into you. So one is external of you, one is internal of you, even though you're both covered. So when he baptizes you, baptizo, he fully immerses himself in you. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Which means you're getting the power of the Spirit. Not when you receive the Spirit, but when you're baptized in the Spirit. They're two different things, but they come from the same source. Does that mean you're perfect? No. Does that mean you know all things? No. Does that mean you're still going to make mistakes? Yes. Does that mean you're still going to sin and miss the mark? Yes. But you're going to get up again, aren't you? And you're not going to spend too long praying for something you don't need to pray for called forgiveness. You're just going to confess what you're in before God because he's already forgiven you, right? Right. Which means you're going to instantly get back on board with living a life by faith and not spend hours and years beating yourself up for missing the mark. Why are you going to do that? Because you know, without any doubt, life in God. Because he frees you from that stinking thinking. Right. So, breathed on, but baptized in. Clothed with power. From where? On high. I'll testify of what this power is. It has never left the day it entered in 1997. It is like someone pouring power, energy, life into your spirit, and it has never left. I wake up with it. I go to bed with it. It's irrelevant what's happening to me. Doesn't matter if it's a good day, bad day. It is what it is because it was put there by him. And none of that other stuff affects it. When I feed on him, who is the power of God, right? Because he's the power, he's love, he's hope, he's joy, he's bread. So when you partake of Jesus Christ, who is all those things in one, what do you think happens to the power? It increases. It's literally like someone throwing gasoline on a fire. Now, when it really gets going, and I could get going here, and I'm doing really well to keep this at a pace where it's like, it just goes. And I literally, guys, could be here all week to blank seats. Because for me, time evaporates. Why? Because I'm better than anybody? No, because of the power and the life in you, time becomes irrelevant. And when you're in the presence of Holy Spirit and you're in the presence of God and the word's being released, all you want to do is sit in it, and time becomes oblivious. And all of a sudden, 5 hours go and it feels like 5 minutes, because you've had common union, communion with Him. Why? Because you're baptized into Him. He lives within you. And so you get to hang out with who? And He is Father, Son, Spirit. And what do? They teach you all things. So you've got so much life to give that whenever anyone asks, you've got a resource of what? Technical information? Christ. Life. The place you were created for. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's like running on empty at best, trying to whip up passion for prayer, spending time in His presence, reading, gathering, giving, loving on people, because you're so fixated on you still. And you can't get free of you, right? You try, and you might try your best, but it only takes a circumstance or a situation or something to shift in the life that you're trying to keep peace to on earth, and before you know it, you are right back to you trying to fix your issues. Which means you miss out on allowing God to be God in your life and through your life, so you get to experience the amazingness of God. Not only to change you, but to bless you. And I don't mean prosperity. As a loving Father, He wants to pour out His blessing so you can glorify Him. And He has all these things that He wants to birth and pour out upon His people. So His people stand out so much because of the love and the oneness that's in them, that a lost world would know through the love and the oneness of His people that Jesus was sent for them. That's what I give my life for. There's a lot of things in Christ, right? But to see and be part of a church that is so in love with their Father, so in love with one another, and because of that love are so one with God, that purely through the love and the way we love people, they know something. That's what God tells me is possible, and it's an absolute. So if it's an absolute, it means it's possible, and God is waiting for a church to become it. And like He's waiting, you have to wait for this. Right, let's just go to Acts 1. Are we still with me?
Yeah.
If you need to have a sleep, have a sleep. It's all good. We'll wake you up and we minister. Acts 1 verses 4 and 5. Acts 1, 4 and 5. And I do want to give you this as a bit of a hole, because, you know, if you don't get a hole, it's like you're left hanging. And I do want to give you a hole, so if you can bear with me a bit. Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. Gathering them together, right? He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. So this is Jesus commanded. A command of heaven is not just an instruction, right? It's not just a good thought, it's a command. So if God commands you, there's nothing like this. I need to go pray about that. That doesn't exist. When God says, this is what I want His people to do, you just do it. So you don't go, oh, I'm trying to work this all out. No, you just do what He's saying, and you do it without any conditions brought to the equation. It's not one of those. And you need to know when He tells you to do something and when He's saying, I want you to go and pray into this. Because you don't want Him on the other side of that. So when the instruction comes, the command from heaven, I want this happening, I want this happening. Our role is just to do it. Right? Cool. So He commands them. And this is the weightiness of this command and why they didn't leave. because there's something that we've looked at that he's promising. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, which is where they were, but to wait for what the Father had promised. When did he make this promise? Ultimately. The start of time, Lily Simnel. Before the foundations of the earth, this was already part of God's plan. Amazing, eh? Which he said, you heard of me. Sorry, of what? What the Father had promised, which he said you heard of from me. For John baptized with water. What's that for? Of and right. I love how we always say sin and miss iniquity, and yet the Bible says iniquity and sin. Because we think it's about sin, but it's about your iniquity that causes you to sin. So I'd ask you to take that away and seek that, because that's a mindset. Okay, so John's baptism of iniquity and sin. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, if they're going to be baptized not many days from now, what are they not? So, although they received the Spirit when he breathed, Jesus is clearly telling them they are not yet in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because if he was, he wouldn't have said that. Not many days from now. He would have said, you're already, what are you doing here? You don't need to do this. It happened then. So the scriptures are so clear like that, and if you spend the time just asking questions, it's actually not hard. Even without the renewing of the Spirit, you could see that and go, okay, is that me? Because as you keep reading, what happened after they are baptized in power? Yeah, and what was some of the outcome? Like, what does the Bible say they started living like? Yeah, but what does the Bible say?
They were bold.
They were bold. Bold doing what? Speaking what? Come on, guys, give me the information. I don't know anything. Tell me, give me information. That doesn't mean anything to me if I know nothing. They were bold what?
Speaking God's word.
So they went from talking a whole lot of rubble, denying, to now boldly getting up and speaking. And how many got added? 3,000 got added, and it said they were pierced to the heart, because this man that denied Jesus all of a sudden is filled with the power of Jesus, and now he starts speaking the word of Jesus, and bang! Oh, what happened? Oh, I don't know, I just, you know, became Christian. No! The promise came upon them and in them, and they were clothed more than just receiving this bread. They were clothed with the power that lived in Christ himself. And then their lives instantly changed. Instantly. Like, there wasn't a prayer meeting. Instantly. And what's the word he preaches? From where?
Joel.
Well, when was that written? How does he know that? Right. And it's come alive in his spirit. Because of the power, and now it's coming out of his spirit into the city, and those who are hearing go, whoo! And it says they are pierced to the heart because the word hits its mark. Then they say, what do we need to do? See, they heed the word, it's like, what now? There isn't this teach me what now. There isn't a teach me a how to. They just respond out of receiving and go, what now? Help me, what now? I'm moving from here to here. Not through their own, through the word, because the power has come in another man who spoke the word, and bingo. Now, who are you, I supposed to be? Peter. Peter is a prophetic picture. Don't think of him as a character that you're not. See him as a prophetic picture of someone who's in flesh and then someone who's in spirit, and go, am I that Peter or that Peter? Am I Saul or Paul? Am I John or John? Am I James or James? See, this is church, guys. This is what it means to be the church. This isn't church. It means becoming and being the church and knowing what it is to live as the church. And if you don't have the power, you will never be the church that Jesus says you can be. Which means we've got to wrestle for a reality and contend with God to be renamed. And if this doesn't get you excited, this is my best shot. Seriously. If you're not hearing, then this. I doubt this very much. If your spirit's not going, even if it's a conviction, and if you're finding yourself going on the inside, I would seriously get you to ask yourself why that's the case. Because all that I'm saying is everything for you, but I get it. When you want to live for you, this is speaking opposite to that, because you can't live for you and live for this. You've got to make a decision whether you want to live for him and him alone or still you, because you can't live for you and him. I'd say that's how the majority of Christians do live. They want their cake, they want to eat it, and they want a cup of tea with a cherry on top of their cake. All based on him and making it comfortable for them because they don't want to change at all. No? Absolutely. So here's this promise that will get you set free from that. And that's what this promise does. Now, do you think Jesus knows their true state? Did he experience their true state? Have you experienced people's true state? Have they experienced your true state? That's why there's so much division and hurt, right? Because we don't have this. And because we don't have this, we're trying to do it. And we fail miserably because we were never supposed to try without this. But man, we do. And we try harder and harder and harder and harder. But Jesus is saying, I've got a command. You all need to go and wait where you are in the city you are until. And you don't leave that until. Have you left? Were you so functional that you wanted to get on board and go and win the world? Because someone told you that was your mission? Did you not have the patience to wait around? No, because love is patient and they didn't have love. And so I haven't got time to wait. Come on, I want a busy schedule. I've got a life to live here. I've got all these things I need to be doing. Come on, God, fit into... make room for him. Have you heard that coming through the pulpit?
Yeah.
You need to make room for God. You imagine if Jesus turned up and you said that to him. Well, I can fit you in here. He's like, don't even bother. So there's a waiting that we don't like and we're not good at if we're still in the flesh. But if you have been breathed on with the Spirit, there's a capacity and ability to wait for the next. Not because you can, because he's given you himself too. And this continues throughout your entire walk. He gives you everything you need for life and godliness. He's given it within his son, so you would never enter into what? Stress, worry, anxiousness, burnout, exhaustion. Everything we listed would not be your reality because you're not trying. You're not trying to keep your own life together. You're not trying to keep other people's lives together. You're not trying to hold it up. You die to all that. Doesn't mean you're not praying for others. Doesn't mean you don't care. But you're no longer controlling you. So you don't have all the stress, the worry, the anxiety, the depression that comes with you looking after you, right? Because you've been set free. Can you see the importance of this?
Yeah.
And it's not a twinkle. And it's not a maybe I have, maybe I haven't. You either know or you don't. And it needs to be that way. Because otherwise you can't testify. Because if this is I don't know and it's wishy-washy, it needs to be so your life aligns to it. Because everything he's given is aligning to a transformed life. Make sense? So he's the builder of his house, and he builds in accordance to his pattern, and what he says happens. So he is never in question. It's just whether we are part of his building process or whether we think we are and we're not, building our own empire, using his name, and we're unaware that we're building our empire and he's not building his kingdom in us. But we say he is, and we're back to Rochelle's thing. We think he is, but our life doesn't reflect it. And when we're asked to live to the standard that is, we can't, because we are in the way. And I'm going to say this. The pod thing was a test by the Spirit. And he was testing all of us as to, will you do what I ask? And do you have what you need to not be thinking about you, right? Everything he does, sorry, sweetheart, everything he does is never for what he's really asking for. Do you realize that? There's always something hidden behind it that he's trying to get to. And if he actually came to you with what he's really trying to get to, gone. Because you're not ready. So he uses something else to want to speak to you about something else. And so he's using the pod model to test where we are really, really at within this journey of the wilderness. Because just because we left that building up there doesn't mean you're not still at the building in your heart and your mind. And it's funny, we're in a building today sort of like that, can reflect that, but it's not that at all. But you can be at a cafe at Sugar and Spice and be up there on the hill. Because the location is in him, it's not in anything physical. So he's testing your physical, spiritual, sorry, location through the question of the pods. Are you prepared to lay your life down for someone else? Question, right? Are you prepared to go out of your way, change your day, change your schedule for someone else? Not because you're trying to or should, because you can, because you're filled with this, that you're no longer living for you, you're living for him. You laid your life down for your fellow brethren. This is what it actually means. This is what it is in living demonstration. You're not thinking of you. You'll move your Tuesday to a Thursday because it's for him. You'll move the time frame. It doesn't fit me. No, for him. And not because you're trying to. It's because you can. Please don't hear and be guilty of what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. Do you have the life in you that empowers that where you enjoy it? You do it with an absolute joy and a blessing and an honor because you want to bless Steve because Steve's not in this life. He can't, and he's choosing him for him. So his choice is all about him, and you're going, I have something in me through this that I don't do that, and he doesn't even know I'm serving him. And that's how much life I'm in, you can be in, because of this. And now you're actually starting to look like a son and living like a son because you are clothed in sonship. You are clothed. You never take it off. It's like the armor of God. You don't take it off. And it's not something you put on like a helmet and a shield and a sword and a belt. It's who? See how far wacky we've got? These people get up in the morning and they go through this physical thing of putting on a helmet, putting on the spiritual belt, got my thing, and they go out the door and someone says, the sword comes out, chomp off the ear, smash you with the shield. Stood up for God. See the homosexual, well, I'm going to tell them what it is to have this. Get down there at Parliament standing on your thing. Wah! I don't think that's the case. It's not the Christ I follow. See the challenge? Without being baptized in power, you cannot. So don't try. And the lesson from what I just said about the pods isn't now to think about and try to do. That would be the biggest mistake and you've missed it. What we're saying is, Father, do I have the capacity in me to live that? And if I don't, I'm here before you. That's the point. Okay, we clear on that? But we need to bring this level of conviction so we actually wake up, because otherwise we'll just do what we've always done and not realizing we're missing the standard of faith, guys, which is a sin. Do you understand that? So to not live the way I described is to miss the mark. See, that's a sin. And we think sinning is adultery or pornography or idolatry. And that's where we go. Now, is that sinful behavior? Yes. But what's worse, that or not living to the standard of faith? Because I'm completely oblivious and I'm actually in unbelief, but I point the finger at everybody doing that. Now, both are missing the mark, but guess one's missing the mark more? This one. And this isn't with the lost. He knows they don't believe. We're supposed to be the people who believe, because that's the work of God. But you know what? You know what helps you in your belief? The three B's. Because without the baptism in the Spirit, you're going to struggle to believe. Someone, and I'll wrap this up, and then we're going to just pray. But can someone go to Ephesians 3:20 and read that out real boldly in just what I said, right? Without baptism in the Holy Spirit, power of the Spirit, it's very hard to believe in a reality of what God says. Ephesians 3, verse 20.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us.
Okay, so let's just say it again. Is that real slow?
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us.
So according to the power that works in you will determine what? What he actually responds to. So he's able to do far more abundantly than what we what? Ask and think. So we limit because of power, which limits our belief and it limits our ask, because we actually don't think God's that good. And we don't think he will. Because we're living in the natural. Can God raise dead people? I'm walking with a guy who's in Sydney, through Selwyn, my mate in Kaitaia, who was given a 4% chance of life because he had brain cancer. He's still alive. He's had the operation. The thing's not growing. And the Sunday night discipleship thing that I set up, we were praying for him, we've given money to him, and I'm now getting to minister to him because he's so hungry. 4% chance to live. And he's alive. We're having conversations around full healing now. And believe. Do you believe with the power in you that God can do beyond? Not just heal you, restore you, then have you share because he's an influencer, because he's a leader and he knows a whole lot of people. We're not there yet, but do you believe that the Father can raise him up out of the state, which is just cancer? Now, cancer's powerful, but can, in accordance to him, it's not. Right? Nothing. God of miracles? Do you and I believe that? Because you won't ask in alignment to that or believe in that unless the power is in you. You might mentally agree with that, but you won't have a conviction of that to be living that. Can you hear the difference?
Yeah.
And can you hear how critical the baptism of the power of the Holy Spirit is? And so without it, we're left with us trying. You may have the Spirit, which is awesome, and be born again. That's good. That is not the end, because this is not the end. There is no end. But you need this and this to be what? In Christ. beginning with M. Mature. Mature what? Which means if you're a mature son, what are you actually going to be? The bride. Which means you're going to what? If you're the bride, you're going to become his wife. And you are going to raise up the eternal family in a 1,000-year reign with your groom. If you're mature. If you stay as an infant, you won't. That is the ultimate reward for all those who lose their life, lay it down, live for his will, and are empowered through what I'm preaching about to glorify his Father. For the bride will be a mature bride, and she will have lived exactly as her groom because she is his co-heir. She is his equal. So she has ministered as the groom ministered. She has loved as the groom. She has lived as the groom. You can't unless you are here. All right? So, let's stand for a minute, eh?